Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of Tales from the Terror Dome. To my right is a man you might recognize if you are a professional wrestling fan like myself, or if you're a guy from Penn State tuning in to one of your fellow podcasters hopping on another podcast. His name is Tom Hanifin. My man, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I guess I have to offer congratulations to all the Virginia Tech football fans out there. I think you guys got yourselves a really good coach. And James Franklin, the future is very bright in Blacksburg.
Yeah, needless to say, we are super excited. 128 wins to 60 losses. He was a play away from the national championship game last year. So when we fired Coach Brent Pry, when we were 0-3 and you guys were 3-0 and number two in the nation, we never thought that we'd be sitting here today with James Franklin as our head football coach. And your podcast is State of State, correct? And it's about you and Justin King. You cover the whole entire landscape of Penn State athletics or just football?
Pretty much just football at this point. Every once in a while when something blows up that's newsworthy within the world of athletics for Penn State, we'll talk about it. But yeah, covering Penn State football 52 weeks a year. So currently former Penn State and NFL wide receiver Deion Butler is my co-host. Justin King is the stepson of the interim head coach, Terry Smith, for Penn State football right now. So a bit of a conflict of interest. He's supporting his father-in-law right now. So there's just been a lot of change, as you can imagine, with Penn State football. It was a circumstance with James Franklin getting fired that I think there were plenty of Penn State fans that wanted to see that, and certainly a contingent of the fan base that was shocked that it actually happened, the buyout being a big reason why, but also seeing how far he had taken the program in his about 12 years in Happy Valley. So I'm very excited to see what he does next at Virginia Tech. I think it's a really good landing spot for him. I think it's a really good fit. It makes a ton of sense. All of his experience within the DMV area, I think he's going to do well recruiting. I think his experience and his connections there are really valuable. And I really think, honestly, Daniel, that the Penn State and Virginia Tech fan bases have similar values, a similar code of ethics, so to speak. We believe in success with honor at Penn State. I think Virginia Tech is very, very similar. And James Franklin breeds that community. He breeds that family, and he is all about developing talent. So I think that's exactly what Virginia Tech needs.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we had Frank Beamer pretty much my whole life up until 2016. It was like 30 years worth of one guy, which is very rare these days. Back then, it was kind of normal. You had, well, Joe Pa forever, and then you had Bobby Bowden, like guys just stayed. But now it's like, that doesn't happen. So even James Franklin staying 12 years at Penn State and all the success that he had, but it was still like the Penn State people I talked to, it's very polarizing. It was either they were like, dang, we shouldn't have done that, or, oh man, we can do so much better. But then I think like towards the end of Frank Beamer, we had won a bunch of 10, we had a bunch of 10 win seasons, high profile bowl games, one national championship appearance. And it's still like it got to the point where we'd win 10, but it was like, man, we need more. Like, we need to get over that hump. And it just didn't end up happening. But then he retired, and then it didn't get better for us. So, and then it happened with Nebraska too, with Bo Pelini to an extent. Like, it never got better for them once they got rid of him. Do you have any sort of nervousness about, man, maybe we shouldn't have fired this guy?
I think it's natural to feel that way because Penn State's trying to go from 9 to 11 wins a year to a national championship, and that's the hardest leap to take. That margin is razor thin. So just mathematically, there's a greater chance of Penn State seeing a decline in terms of wins and losses than there is seeing an increase. That's just, I think that's just logical. But at the same time, I think it's reasonable to say that James Franklin's time at Penn State had come to a close and it was time for a fresh start. It's fascinating to me how the discussion around Franklin has changed. For how many years were people crucifying him for his record against the top 10, the top five within his own conference within the Big Ten against the juggernauts of Ohio State, Michigan, and now Oregon being involved in the new Big Ten? And now that he's been fired, it's the worst decision Penn State could ever make. Penn State couldn't get over the hump. Well, how are they going to do it now? So it's a very flawed argument, I feel. I think it's fair to say two things are true. His time had come to an end and he accomplished some fantastic things. But at the same time, there was a level of expectation from the fan base, from the program, from the athletic department, from the university, that they want to see this football program get back to national championship contention as they were in the 1980s. And that feeling's been there for a while. And I will hear the arguments of, yes, they're one drive away from the national championship game last year. But when your entire team disintegrates and falls off a cliff after one loss in September, and everything starts snowballing into multiple losses and what was ultimately six consecutive losses this year after James Franklin had been there, sure, but still, I think there's a very flawed argument around James Franklin. And I'm glad you brought up Frank Beamer. It is eerie how close their winning percentages, their records against the top 10, their records in bowl games, they're nearly identical. The one thing that Frank Beamer has in spades is seven conference championships between the Big East and the ACC. And you mentioned that national championship game appearance. James Franklin was one drive away from that accomplishment. But James Franklin has won Big Ten title in 12 years. Now you can say, oh, yeah, he was banging his head up against the ceiling of the Ohio States, the Michigans, and now Oregon. But Frank Beamer and him were percentage points away in terms of winning percentage overall. Frank Beamer was 66%. In his time, James Franklin was close to 69% at Penn State, both virtually 500 records in bowl games. Both had winning percentages of 19% or less against the top 10 in the AP poll. So I think you guys are getting something that is probably going to feel similar, but I want to temper expectations for Virginia Tech fans. I don't think this is automatically going to put Virginia Tech into the national championship picture.
Oh, no.
The beauty of this is that James Franklin will probably get a welcome there for 10 years.
Yeah, I think we just want to get to relevant football in December first. Like
I think that'll happen.
We need to reclaim the ACC. I think I know I thrive on negativity, like the chip on the shoulder mentality. Like nothing motivates me more than somebody telling me I can't or laughing at me or not taking me serious. And I think getting fired from Penn State is that motivating factor for him. It's like, oh, these people think I can't do it. So I think you're going to see an increase in vigor and determination that I think will boost Virginia Tech to a level it hasn't been in a long time, or maybe he'll even take it a little further in the, with the modern era of the way it goes. I know – like, yeah, he had been at Penn State for 12 years. It was probably time. Both sides, I had heard both sides were kind of ready to part ways. But, yeah, man, it's most of those, I feel like most of those losses were to Ohio State and Michigan, which Jim Harbaugh is a psychotic coach. But Ohio State spends ungodly amounts of money. I think they won the national championship last year and didn't profit at all. Like I think they lost money on their program just because they spend so much. But yeah, I'm excited, needless to say, that James Franklin is in Blacksburg. And I think with Clemson starting to fall, and they're falling out, Dabo's falling out of favor there, and FSU just can't seem to get it together, and the reports of them not even having like the resources or money to want to fire Norvell and then re-spend that whole amount on another guy, I think the ACC is ripe for the taking, and I'm just excited to get top recruits back into Virginia, and I think it's going to be a good marriage regardless of where it goes. I think right now in this vacuum, it's perfect.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes. I think James Franklin has a good history of recruiting Virginia, Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, obviously. Ohio, he's done well in Detroit as well. He's gotten people out of Florida. He's gotten people out of Georgia. He's gotten people out of California, occasionally Texas. So he does have national interest. Be prepared for him to complain about the Roanoke Airport and how far away it is from Blacksburg. So get ready for that, because he was complaining about the State College Airport being 15 minutes away and having a short runway. So good luck with that. But at the same time, you know, listen, James Franklin is a proven recruiter, CEO, and developer of talent. perfect examples have been Micah Parsons, Abdul Carter, Tyler Warren, just to name a few in recent memory. I'm curious to see how he does in terms of the transfer portal. I'm curious to see what the actual commitment from Virginia Tech is to football when it comes to NIL and funding. There's been a lot made of well over $200 million they're putting into athletics, and there's going to be the cap of $20.5 million that goes to each FBS program here in the near future. So what does that look like for Virginia Tech? Like, how much of that pie is going to football? I'd imagine a fair amount, but still, I think that number shrinks quite a bit when you spread it over 30 some odd sports. So there's a rumor out there he's potentially looking into former Penn State athletic director Sandy Barber to be his general manager. So we'll see if that comes to fruition. We'll see if his analytics guy, Andy Frank, comes with him. I think there's a lot of people that I know within the Penn State football community that want to see Andy Frank leave because he's been playing Moneyball for a very long time. So granted, now you're into this modern era of college football and you can play with the money a little bit more. But James Franklin had consistently been looking for discount guys, guys that fit, that sort of thing, guys who fit the team, aren't going to rock the boat, those sorts of things. So I think he's going to be a good fit for Virginia Tech. How quickly they're able to compete for an ACC championship, we'll see, because to the points you just raised, it's chaos right now in the ACC. Like, let's not forget Bill Belichick is still at UNC, which is crazy to think about. Yeah. So you have all these, you know, high profile coaches and programs that seem to be on the rise, but it seems like, you know, a logjam of like, there's your Louisville, there's your Virginia, there's your Georgia Tech, like all these schools that could make a run for it. So it feels wide open. My question is going to be, say James Franklin gets this team to win an ACC championship in the near future. Well, how much further can Virginia Tech go beyond that? That is going to be the curious thing. And again, it's why I think he'll probably be able to spend 10 years at Virginia Tech, because all the points you just said, it feels like Hokie fans want to see competitive, respectable football and win anywhere from 9 to 10 games, hell, 11 games a year. They'd be pretty ecstatic. But I don't know, and you can probably answer this, is there an expectation in Blacksburg that James Franklin is going to win a national title at Virginia Tech?
I think there's a hope, but at the same time, I think we kind of like, we've been beaten down for so long and like it's just been bad. Like,
right.
We're just thinking initial steps right now. Like, we want to flip the recruiting class. We want to inject talent. More talent. We have some. Brent Pry brought in some talent. Like, there is, there are some good bones on the skeleton. But, I think, you know, we need more 4-star. We need more, you know, I would love to get a 5. We haven't had a true 5 since Tyrod Taylor. Kendall Fuller, but he was always coming because his brother's, you know what I'm saying? So, without anyone with any ties to Virginia Tech, Tyrod was our last 5-star. He was amazing, but I think the first milestone we want to reach is ACC championship. That's kind of where we are right now. And just make the playoff and see what happens. But I do – the rumors were he asked for quite a bit of NIL money and he wanted future pledges as well. Like, he wanted like a several-year plan of the increases, like, so that he could combat – you know, poaching, and he give performance-based raises to his players, NIL. The budget they put together for this thing is unlike – it was like Virginia Tech went from mom-pop shop to the Waltons, like Walmart, like modern-day corporation football, which I'm excited about. I think it's like roughly 70% of the house share, the rev share, will be towards football. So however many of that 20 – we'll go there, plus NIL. I think a lot of people have been waiting to donate to this program, but they did not put their trust in the results they had been seeing from Justin Fuente and even Brent Pry. Brent Pry is an amazing guy. I love him. Was amazing Sunday through Friday. It was just Saturday when the results needed to happen. They weren't happening. But repairing relationships, all that, he did that. So the infrastructure is repaired at Virginia Tech, and I think that gives James Franklin a bit of an advantage as far as he's already like king of the Mid-Atlantic recruiting-wise, I feel like. Like, I feel like he did a really good job. I know he poached a bunch of Virginia kids and brought them up there, like Tony Rojas, and Tyler Warren was actually a Virginia Tech commit at one point. So it would be nice to bring Tony Rojas home to Virginia Tech. I don't know what that's going to look like. I know he's done well for y'all up there. And like you said, the Micah Parsons, the Abdul Carters, like just absolute studs. We haven't had like a true difference maker like that on a national level in a long time. So I think we're really just excited about those initial things. And then once we see what the wins look like, maybe then we'll start to bring back expectations of, hey, maybe we can get in that playoff and we can do some damage. But for now, it's really just, we just want to see good football again.
Oh, I completely understand that. Yeah, I think James Franklin is at least going to be able to put that on the field, and I expect him to start recruiting into Pennsylvania and New Jersey and encroaching upon Penn State's quote-unquote territory when it comes to recruiting, because James Franklin has a long memory and he holds grudges. He referred to Penn State as, quote, the last place when addressing the Board of Visitors. He holds a grudge against the University of Maryland because he thought he was going to potentially be elevated during his time there to being the head coach. So he has crushed the state of Maryland when it's come to recruiting. So he's very competitive. I respect that. So I think Penn State is going to have their work cut out for him, as with any team in the Northeast, dealing with Virginia Tech and dealing with James Franklin recruiting in that part of the country. So the one thing that, you know, he had consistently was, every 4 years, he'd have a top 10, top five recruiting class. And then the 3 years in between, the recruiting class would be in the mid-teens, something like that. Now, Virginia Tech would be ecstatic to see that. I'm curious to see if this NIL contribution you've talked about changes that. Is he able to consistently be in the top 15, for instance, top 10, top five even? That's something that I think you're going to have to wait and see on. And that's just going to take time, because no disrespect to Blacksburg, Virginia, just like State College, Pennsylvania, they're remote, they're tough sells in the grand scheme of things. So I'm curious to see if he draws people there, and he has that magnetism. You see a lot of the current Penn State football players posting about him on social media, congratulating him, players that are in the National Football League, congratulating him, love him, support him, all those things. So I think he'll be able to sell that. I think he's going to be able to sell, hey, come to Blacksburg, you will be developed, this will be a good experience for you, and we'll get you to the National Football League. You cannot question that about James Franklin and his tenure at Penn State.
Yeah, I think, you know, bringing up the location part of it, like while we've been down, people have always been like, well, it's hard to recruit here because of where it is. And I always said, hey, State College is not that much different than Blacksburg. Fair. And they're getting big time recruits. Tuscaloosa, there's not really much there. I was like, they're getting big time recruits. Georgia Tech in the middle of Atlanta, and they are not getting massive recruits. Like, location matters a little bit, but I think it's more like if you're winning, it doesn't matter as much, because I mean, why, Nick Saban could coach in the middle of a field in Kansas and people would go play for him.
Like, look at Texas Tech. Lubbock, Texas is in relatively the middle of nowhere in North Texas. I mean, they're having a lot of success this year. It can be done. The new era of college football, this NIL era, the amount of money that's being thrown around, it's being proven in just about every sport at the college level. You can win anywhere with the appropriate funding and the right person at the helm. So James Franklin makes a lot of sense for Virginia Tech. I think their future is bright. But I encourage Virginia Tech fans to be patient and also to have reasonable expectations in terms of what this could actually be, understanding what it is within the conference. And I still think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Virginia Tech to break through and potentially break out in the ACC.
No, I'm excited about it. And you definitely know about all these college towns working with, you know, World Wrestling Entertainment and TNA, and like you're a world traveler. Like you've seen a lot of places, you've been in a lot of arenas, so you can definitely, you're well educated on these college towns for sure.
Yeah, I wish I've never been to Blacksburg. I would love to attend a night game at Virginia Tech. I'd love to see Enter Sandman in person, but no, I'm very fortunate to have seen a lot of different countries, and I think I've been to 44 out of 50 states at this point, maybe 45. I'd have to check my map at this point, but no, I would love to see that part of the country. And I think it's the fun thing about college football right now is that any tiny corner of the country can be king for one day on a college football Saturday or like a Tuesday night, like we just saw Maction just last night. So I think it's a really exciting thing. And it's the beauty of college football is I love all these different traditions and these different locations. There's so much to learn. There's so much to experience why people do the things that they do, why they're so invested in their teams and in their schools. So I really hope this is a good situation for Virginia Tech and James Franklin.
Yeah, so do I. Have you had the pleasure of interviewing him for your podcast? Do you have any
media
experience?
So that's the one thing, and you and I were talking about this before we started recording, is his relationship with the media is curious in that I was under the impression for a while if he was to do specific interviews, it was you had to develop a strong personal relationship or there was a financial element to it. And then his press conferences, if you make a mistake in your phrasing of a question and he's not in a good mood, he will crush you. Now, you saw a very playful James Franklin in his introductory press conference. And he's trying to get to know everybody. Check him out after the loss to Oregon, for instance. Understandably so, ticked off. But there's different shades of James depending on how things are going. And I love the way Mike Elko at Texas A&M put it recently, because he just got a contract extension. They overcame a huge deficit against South Carolina. And he was saying, my job is to be the opposite of whatever the moment is emotionally. And I think that's the mark of a fantastic leader. So you guys are going to see the man in James Franklin, who is a great leader, a great CEO, a great recruiter, legitimately cares about people. He cares about his staff. He cares about his players. He cares about their families. It's a very important thing at Penn State. And I know it's important at Virginia Tech. He's great at building staffs as well. Every single year, Penn State is a blue blood program. Every year you're getting poached from one part of your staff or not. And in the transfer portal, you're getting poached. So he did a really good job reloading at a lot of different points on his staff, at points within his roster. So I think he's going to bring that to Virginia Tech. So again, I just think from a personality standpoint, he's going to fit. But as someone who has observed him from afar within the media, he can be tough to deal with at times. And there is a level of James looking down his nose at you. So just careful.
Yeah, no. I look forward to the challenge. Hoping that I get a chance to interview him. I had a pretty good relationship with the current staff, so I'm hoping that I'm able to have a good relationship with the new staff coming in. Speaking of Elko getting a raise, the reason he got a raise is because you guys were coming around like, hey, he's on our list. And I feel like Penn State got a lot of coaches paid this past cycle. This current cycle, I should say. So from your standpoint, like, who are you hoping for at this point to be the Penn State head coach?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think not just Penn State, but the likes of probably Florida and LSU. I know they're both heavily invested in trying to get Lane Kiffin, and a lot of jobs out there that have opened up, Auburn especially. So I think a lot of coaches are getting extensions and getting paid thanks to a lot of different openings, Penn State being one of them. The likes of Jeff Brohm, Matt Rule, Mike Elko, just a lot of names that are, you know, sitting tight, which is good for them. My concern at this point in the cycle is that the pool of candidates for Penn State's next head of coach is shrinking, and it doesn't seem to necessarily have a lot of clear options that really make sense. I think the one name that's still out there that I think is probably the best leading candidate right now is Eli Drinkwitz from Mizzou. I've read different sources saying that former Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald is somebody that Penn State athletic director Pat Kraft might have an interest in. Bob Chesney from, is it Bill or Bob? I guess Chesney.
Bob. From my hometown, Harrisonburg, Virginia.
Oh, there you go. At JMU is somebody people are interested. Summerall from Tulane. I don't think Penn State is necessarily going after Summerall, but just to name a handful of people out there. Brian Hartline, the offensive coordinator from Ohio State, is somebody who we understand is interviewed for the Penn State head coaching job. So there's a lot of different names out there. For me right now, I think Eli Drinkwitz is the most intriguing name outside of the program. But I've said it on my own show, State of State, that I feel, considering how the pool has shrunk at this point, that it might be best for Penn State to sit tight with interim head coach Terry Smith for 1 year into 2026. see how the pool looks. If there's somebody you like and that's outside the program, it's your prerogative to go get him. And if Terry Smith does an excellent job with a clean slate in 2026, then you get your answer. I don't know if they're going to go that direction. I genuinely don't think they will go that direction. I believe Pat Kraft wants a fresh start, considering you just got done 12 years of James Franklin. Terry Smith was lockstep with James Franklin for many years. But I do think there is a positive to what Terry Smith has done, and that you've seen how Penn State, yes, while they've lost games, they just got their first Power Four and Big Ten win of the season this past weekend at Michigan State. The effort has been there. The toughness, the grit, the passion that seemed to be missing earlier this season was restored. And that's not all Terry Smith, but obviously the change to Terry Smith and renewed vigor within the roster, I think, leads to that. So I think to that point, Terry Smith inherits a bad situation in, you know, kind of the middle of the season in October. I would like to see him get a chance to coach a full offseason and season into 2026. And he said he's a servant of Penn State. His whole family is entrenched in Penn State history. So if it's a situation where it's like, hey, Terry, you know, we want to go a different direction, there's somebody outside the program we'd like to bring in, I think he would understand that. But I also think he deserves a true shot at it. And a true shot at it is give him the offseason to convince people to come to Penn State because he loves this place. Convince people to stay at Penn State. The roster retention is going to be a challenge. And then see how he fares with next season, because you might get your answer and not have to go outside the program. Because I genuinely am a little concerned at this point with the available talent within the coaching pool.
I think Bob Chesney would be a good option. You're not going to win the internet or the press conference necessarily, mm-hmm. but he's a good coach, and he came into JMU and took over a program that Cignetti had just taken all the top talent that was there with him to Indiana. But I mean, I get what you're saying. It would be a little nervous about, you know, that's a big swing to take a G5 guy and bring him up, because you want to be able to convince the fan base that you improved your program by letting Franklin go, who had won so much, and then you have to go find somebody that's going to elevate it past what he did, and that would mean national championship. So that's a tough task for Mr. Kraft. Yeah, it is.
And that person, say you hire somebody outside the program, how long are you going to give them? 3 years, 4 years? Like, I think it's more of an NFL head coaching model in terms of the amount of leash that they have. So again, if you're not in love with someone this cycle, I know you have to name a head coach, but if you're not in love with someone that's still available, I wouldn't, you know, to make the joke, I wouldn't put a ring on it if it doesn't feel like it's forever.
Right. No, I get it. Man, it sounds like, you know, Penn State is going to be happy. Virginia Tech, we're obviously happy. It's a win-win here, I believe. You know, I have no,
we got his buyout, so we're actually pretty happy on that front. It was 49 yeah. million, now it's 9, so a lot easier.
Well, that buyout was interesting, because it was like, yeah, we'll pay you, but you got to get a job, and then it, whatever you make, like if you make over 8, whatever, we don't pay you. So it was kind of like a buyout, but not a buy. You
it
know
was
what I'm
a really well written contract, honestly. No, at the end
I'm
of the
surprised
day,
y'all bent Jimmy Sexton over like that, because. Yeah, or actually, no, that wasn't Jimmy, I don't think. I think he had a previous agent.
I know Jimmy Sexton is his current agent. I don't know if he was his agent at the time that was signed. But, yeah, based on the language that we've come to understand, and granted, I don't have the paperwork in front of me, so this is just going off of what people have reported. But, you know, it sounds like Penn State protected itself very, very well in this situation. And I saw fans online, you know, there's Penn State fans that get frustrated with James Franklin, And, you know, a lot of people saying, oh, well, he doesn't owe Penn State anything, that sort of stuff. And I'm like, he got paid nearly roughly $50 million to coach Penn State football for 12 years. His family spent 12 years uninterrupted in the same place. How many coaches in this sport get to do that? His kids had the opportunity to grow up and go to school at Penn State in the area, that sort of stuff. Like, there was great stability and he did some fantastic things. But I point towards the loss to Ohio State at home in 2018. Dwayne Haskins, late great Dwayne Haskins for Ohio State, leading a comeback and beating Penn State at Beaver Stadium. And after the game, James Franklin said, you know, we've been a good football program. We want to be a great football program, but we're not an elite football program. So that put myself and everybody else in a situation of sitting back and being like, okay, we want to be great. We want to be elite. What do you need? And he was given every resource humanly possible. And I think it's fair and reasonable that 7 years later, after being given every resource, that Penn State elected to move on. And I don't think that's a bad sign for Virginia Tech, because it sounds like Virginia Tech is getting to that point of, we're going to give you the resources you need. So it's just going to take time. But James Franklin is a proven program builder, and he will get Virginia Tech back to respectability.
No, absolutely. I agree. You got to come to a Virginia Tech game. Let me know. Love you.
Yeah.
Let me know. We tailgate hard. Like, we do it right. So you can come tailgate with us.
A really big turkey leg.
Yeah, you do. You need the turkey leg. Yeah, absolutely. And if TNA comes to DC, I will try to attend a taping, because
I would love that. I would love that. I'm also trying to convince at some point Adam Carriker, who's a former Washington Commander, technically, from the DC area. I know he lives out in Lincoln, Nebraska now, a former Cornhusker. But man, if TNA ever does a show in DC, I'm going to try and convince Adam Carriker to hop on a plane. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I wanted to go to the GOAT's final farewell in Washington, D.C., but Arties. TKO put those tickets up to a price that you want a Maserati, or you want to see John Cena wrestle one more time. So I will be watching from television. But Tom, man, I appreciate you taking the time out, coming on here to Bleav Network Podcast, just having a conversation about the new football coach at Virginia Tech, James Franklin. I'm excited for our future. I'm interested to see your future. And it's going to be, you know, it's the best thing about time. It always tells.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, Dan. Appreciate
it. Absolutely, man. I appreciate you.